Okay, we're picking up eight lines from the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph with the words of Amar Ravina, a little bit in the middle here. So we just mentioned yesterday that according to Shmuel, and really according to everyone, that if something is a dinder abanam, and it's going to be mazik the rabbim, and it's going to create a problem for the public, it's going to be a public issue of danger, then one is allowed to violate an isser derabanan in order to save the rabbim from having something that's dangerous. So the Gemara on that note just points out the Amar Avina Hilkach quotes Birshus Rabbim Malicho Pachos Marba Amutz. So therefore, if there's a thorn, and obviously it's some form of danger in the public domain, and people are afraid people are going to walk in and get injured, then a person is allowed to move it less than four amos at a time, which would only be a din derabanan, right? We know that a din deraisa is only carrying four amos, so if you do it less than four amos, if you do it in increments less than four amos, that would only be the Isser Derabanan. And again, where Ravina is telling us that where there's only an Isser Derabanan in the interest of the public safety, then it would be mutter to move this. And if we're only talking about a situation where the Rishus is not a Rishus Rabbim Daraisa, rather, it's only Rishus Rabbim Derabanan, right? We mentioned the din of the Carmelis before. We saw this earlier in the first parak. So we see that the din of a Carmelis is only a din derabanan. It resembles a public domain, but in a situation where, again, there's a danger, so then we allow you to move it in a Carmelis if there's a danger to the rabbim. So that's what we see from the Memra of Shmuel, and that's what Ravina comes to teach us, and this is how we paskin, I think that's how we paskin in regards to this halacha. So now the Gemara is going to continue to quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah stated that a person is allowed to aval nosin hu lesocho lesocha kos kedi lafshiran. With regards to the cold water and the hot water, one is allowed to put cold water into this hot water urn or into a cup of hot water to warm it. So now the Gemara is going to analyze that. The Gemara now says, Tanu Rabbanan. So we have a braisa that says the following. Nosin adam chamin lesochat sonin. Someone is allowed to put hot water into cold water. However, you are not allowed to put cold water into a hot water. Divrei Beis Shammai. These are the words of Beis Shammai. So a few important things over here. The Mikdu Kimta like Tosfos, that Beis Shammai is allowing you to pour hot water even from a Kli Rishon, even from the primary vessel, into cold water. However, they say it's usher to pour cold water into the hot water, even when it is a Kli Sheni. Generally, Kli Sheni is not going to be Vashel water. So Beis Shammai is gozer din derabanan. And it's important to note that the whole underlying principle over here is tata gavar, is the concept that when you pour from a hot item into a cold item, we assume, and vice versa also, a cold item into a hot item, we assume that we give the status of both of them as the lower one. The lower one is dominating, and we give it the status of the lower one. These have a lot of halachic implications, not just for Hilchos Shabbos, as we're going to see this whole Amud over here, that this Amud is going to go back and forth about this, but for Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, this comes up a lot. When you have a hot piece of meat and a cold piece of dairy, or vice versa, it's a cold piece of meat and a hot piece of dairy. So then this halacha of Tata Gavar, that we go after the lower one dominating, would be a very important halacha, because whether it's going to all be us, or we only have to take off some of it, if they touch each other, is going to be a very important principle that comes up in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav as well, and many other sugyas in Hilchos Pesachim. These come up, this sugyas. So it's important to know that this concept is an important concept. Except again, the general principle is that we assume that the lower one is dominating. So if the cold substance is the lower vessel, then it's going to assume that it's going to have the status of cold. And the hot substance is poured onto it, then we assume that it's going to be cooling off. And if the hot substance is the lower one, then we're assuming that the cold one poured onto it, that the cold one will take over the place of the hot one, and viewed as hot. So therefore, Beit Shammai allow you to permit hot water into cold water because of Tata Gavar. However, they're forbidding to put you cold water into hot water. Again, we pointed out only Midir Abanan because we're referring to Kli Sheni here, but still, we're concerned that you might get confused, Tosfos point out, that you're going to get confused between a Kli Sheni, Kli Rishon, and since we have the concept of Tata Gavar, we're going to be machmir even on a Kli Sheni when you pour cold water into hot water of a Kli Sheni. That's what Beit Shammai hold. However, Beis Hillel say, Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, both putting hot water into cold water and cold water into hot water are going to be allowed. But medvar marmarim, when is this going to be true according to Beis Hillel? Aren't gozer? Because that's regards to pouring a cup. Why? So Rashi tells us, because the cup is first of all is intended for drinking, so therefore the person doesn't want it to be so hot. And also that we're discussing a kli sheni, and a kli sheni, even Beis Shammai agrees, not a din deraisa. It's only derabanan. You might get confused. Beis Shammai said we're not afraid of that. And you want to say maybe we should be afraid of that, but here, Gafka, there's the reason to assume that we're not going to get confused because the guy doesn't want his drinking water to be boiling hot. He wants to be able to drink it. So therefore, they assume that when a person is coming to drink it there, and it's a kli sheni, it's going to be mutter. Aval bambati, however, when it comes to a bathtub, the Beis Hillel is going to agree that there's going to be a chiluk chamin l'suchatzonen l'tzon l'suchachamin, that it's going to be permitted to pour hot water into cold water, but it's not going to be permitted to cold water into hot water, again, because of the principle of tatagavar, that's going to be like you're cooking the cold water, and it's going to be usher, because the ambati, Rashi points out, a person wants the ambati to be very hot, and also the ambati is in a kli rishon, so therefore it is definitely going to be usher, even according to Beis Hillel over here. And the Gemara adds, Rabbi Shimon ben Asir is coming to forbid it. So what's he coming to forbid? The Gemara is going to discuss it, but right now the Gemara is assuming that the pashtus that Rabbi Shimon ben Asir is going to Asir pouring hot water even to a cold ambati, even to a cold bathtub. That's what the Gemara is going to assume. The Gemara is going to reject that and fix it, but that's what the Gemara assumes right now. And now the Gemara is paskening. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman wants to paskin. Halacha ki Rabbi Shimon ben Asir. The halacha is going to follow Rabbi Shimon ben Asir, which again we're assuming right now, which would mean that it's usher even to pour hot water into a cold bathtub. That's what the Gemara is assuming right now. The Gemara is going to have a machlokas about this in a moment. Now the Gemara says, "Savar of Yosef levimar seifel harei hu kambati." Yosef wanted to taina. He wanted to claim that a basin is like a bathtub. So what are we dealing with? What's this type of basin? We see over here in many other Gemaras, it seems clear that this basin was a large vessel, and it seems that they also would pour a significant amount of liquid into this basin. And it was usually used for either drinking or for washing one's feet. Just to point out, a seifel in modern Hebrew today is talking about a small item. That's not the Gemara's usage, and that's obviously not reflected over here. And the seifel also, when it comes to the seifel, it also should be noted that it's usually a kli sheni. So it's not capable of cooking, but you still want it very hot, Rashi points out. So since you want it very hot, there's room to, again, to distinguish and assume maybe we should be mashmar, maybe we shouldn't be. So that's why there's a suffix. So Yosef wanted to say it should be treated like a bathtub, even though it's a cliche, because you want it very hot, so therefore it should be with the same chumrah that only if it was cold, can you pour hot into it, but not the other way around. So another Gemara says, Amar le Abaye, but Abaye says to him explicitly, Rav Chiya says, Tanei Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya taught Rav Raisa instead, Seifel Eino Kabati, that the basin over here is not like a bathtub. So there's no gzera of adding cold water to a basin. That's what Rav Abaye wants to tie in. So the Gemara also is going to ask, V'lamai desalaka daita mikar de Seifel Kabati. So, but wait a second. Now, according to Rav Yosef's original understanding, that it's like a bathtub, and that is also, and we have to factor the fact that Rav Nachman says that the halacha follows Rav Shimon ben Asir, who, again, we said, he apparently said that pouring hot water into a bathtub of cold water is also going to be asr. So then, ela b'shabes rechitza b'chamin leka. So then, according to this, you're trying to tell me that there's no possibility of washing with hot water on Shabbos. Why would that be? Because we know, first of all, that it's mutter to wash one's hands, his feet, and his hands, his feet, and his face. Right? It's mutter on Shabbos to do that, provided that this was done before Shabbos, provided that it was prepared before Shabbos. We assumed that that was going to be mutter. However, according to Rav Shimon ben Asa, whose opinion is accepted by Rav Nachman, it would be prohibited to dilute the water in a situation to get it, alright? Any water that was heated for bathing, even which was heated before Shabbos, right, and left on the Kira, it has to be diluted with cold water before anyone could wash with it. Now, according to Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, Rav Nachman accepted this, then there's no way of doing that, to pour hot water onto the cold water to use it to wash your face. So then, accordingly, there's no situation where a person is going to be able to have warm water on Shabbos. So that can't be though, because we said it's permitted. So the Gemara now says misavret Rav Shimon Asifakai. But no, now we're going to qualify. We said before that it's not clear what Rav Shimon ben Asya was coming to Aser and say that there was a machlokas about. Rav Shimon ben Asya is not referring to the second case of the Breisa, meaning he didn't say that it's Aser to pour hot water into cold water. He's not. Again, we assumed that when the Breisa said Rav Shimon ben Asya says it's Aser, that meant that Rav Shimon ben Asya is saying that what Beis Hillel permitted before, he meaning pouring hot water into a cold bath, he assumed that would be usher. The Gemara is suggesting that that's not what he was coming on. Rashi, he's going on the ratio. He's coming the first case of that Breisa, which was saying a Beis Hillel matzirin bein chamin l'sochtunim bein telach l'chamin. Beis Hillel permitted pouring both hot water into a cup of cold water and cold water into a cup of hot water in terms of the cup that you were drinking because it was a klisheni and because you didn't want it that hot. To which Rabbi Shimon Manasseh oser tzonin l'sochamin. Rabbi Shimon Manasseh says that it's usher, it's forbidden to pour cold water into a cup of hot water. However, with respect to what we were saying before about pouring hot water into a cup of cold water, Rabbi Shimon Asa would agree that it would be mutter. So that's what we see over here, that it would be mutter. So the Gemara now says, but that's Leibin Rabbi Shimon Asa kivei shamai, but that if that's the case, Rabbi Shimon Asa would be following the shita of Beis Shammai and not Beis Hillel. That's how he'd be lining up. If you see that what we said Beis Shammai in the Mishnah, that's how Rabbi Shimon Manasseh would be coming out. But that can't be the case, because A, Rav Nachman Paskin like it, and B, meaning we don't assume that the people are trying to be a Liba to Beis Shammai, because we don't Paskin like that. But it's even stronger here, because Rav Nachman Paskin is like that, and it can't be that Rav Nachman Paskin like Beis Shammai. Again, we always Paskin like Beis Hillel, except for the exceptions. So the Gemara says, I think there's six exceptions. Hachi Kamar, this is not one of them. So the Gemara says, Lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel bedavar zeh. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel never disagreed on this issue. That's what Rav Shimon Manasseh is tining. He's saying that even Beis Hillel would say that it's usher to pour cold water into a cup of hot water, and therefore he is disputing the Breis's original assumption that Beis Hillel permitted adding cold water to a cup of hot water. So that is what Rav Shimon Manasseh wants to tine. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Breider of Yeshua. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav Yeshua, Chazina Leila Rava de lo kapi ramana. I saw that Rava was not machmir about this. He was not careful. Meaning he poured cold water into a cup of a wash basin and things like that. Right? He didn't have a problem of that if it had hot water, he would pour cold water of it. So where was his proof from? I mean, Ditzani Rav Chiya. So Rava based the shita that he allowed this based on the following, because of the brisa which Rav Chiya said. No sin adam kitan l'soch mayim l'soch sefel shamayim. Someone's allowed to put a jug of water into a basin of water, whether it was hot water into cold water or cold water into hot water. So the Bryce is clearly allowing you to pour cold water into a basin of hot water. That's what we see from Rabbi Chiya, and that's why Rava was making on this. So the Gemara now says, "Amalei Rav Huna l'Ravashi Dilma Shani Hasim de Mifsakli." But maybe over there in the case situation by the Breisa, it's different in Rava's case because the walls of the jug are separating the cold water in the jug itself from the hot water in the basin. So how do we know though that one can actually pour cold water into a basin of hot water? That's not clear from that situation of Reb Chiya. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Ma'are Etmano," because it says in the Breisa explicitly, someone's allowed to pour. Not someone's going to put it there, meaning that you're literally directly pouring. It comes out, someone is directly allowed to pour from a jug of water into the wash basin of water, whether the hot water is into cold or cold water is into water. This is explicit supporting Rava's Hanhaga, what Rava did. So basically, to summarize, we have I think five dinim over here, that pouring hot water into a cold bath is permitted. We see that that's clearly going to be allowed. However, pouring cold water into a hot bathtub, into a kli rishon, is going to be usher. That's what we see. Also, pouring hot water into a cup of cold water, that's going to be permitted. And pouring cold water into a cup of hot water, that is going to be the machlokas. Beis Shammai say that it's usher, Beis Hillel say it's mutter. Reb Shimon Manasseh holds that even Beis Hillel held that it was usher. And just to point out, though, the halacha in that situation, we follow Rava. That's what the Gemara in the Gemara of the Shulchan Aruch Shin Yerches over there discusses that case of the Ambatis and the Hilchos Special. So that's where we actually pass on like Rava's version. And just to point out, when it comes to the seifel, the basin, we're being makel to treat it like a kos and not like an abati. So that's how Rashi assumes. That's how other Rishonim disagree. But that's how Rashi comes out. So that's what we come out of. Okay, now we're up to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the following. Ha'ilfes v'har kedira she'evran merusachin. A frying pan, usually the Tavisan of Filchus is like a frying pan, and a pot that were removed from the fire while they were boiling, loitin l'chsochok tavim. Someone is not allowed to add spices to them. Because, again, the frying pan is considered a kli rishon, which is going to retain the ability to cook something if it's going to be yad to lettuce bow. So then, that is what the Mishnah says. Turn it to the next one. But now, aval nosin hu l'socha ka'ara l'socha samchoi. But someone is allowed to add spices into a bowl or into a tamchoi. Tamchoi is some sort of large kli that they used to hold food after it was removed from a pot before they used to put it into bowls. That's what Rashi says over here. Just to point out, just in every city, remember, we saw tamchoi is usually the money that it's given to collect to the poor people, right? That's what they used to give them. The money was used to also give them food. That was this, so the name got, apparently got the name, that food that they used to cook and they stored in, that got the name of tamchoi over here. So that was that's where we got the name from this. So just to point that out. But again, the point is that these are klisheni. These are not a kli rishon. Those are going to be a klisheni, a secondary vessel, which you cooked it and you put it into this. So therefore, it's not going to be as chamor, and therefore you can put in spices into this klisheni. And just to point out, that might only be if you're putting it into something that was a liquid. However, if something was a solid, it could be that based on the marshal, davar gush, that if it's still going to be yatza lettuce bow, that it would still be a problem to put spices even on a kli sheni. If something is hot, that's the chumrah that many have for the Hilchos Shabbos and for Basar Basalva comes up as well. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, L'kolu nosin, you can add spices to anything, except for something that has vinegar or fish brine. The Gemara is going to ask in a moment whether he was coming on the first case where he was saying that even by a kli rishon or only by a kli sheni is being machmer. Was he being machmer or being mekel? So says the Gemara, Yibaylehu, Rabbi Yehuda, Areisha Kai Lukula. Did Rabbi Yehuda say his halacha based on the first statement of the Mishnah, which was saying, again, that it's usher to put spices into a kli rishon? To which Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can put everything except for chometz and tzir, which are considered to cook very quickly, so that's only the thing that's usher on a kli rishon. However, everything else, you can put the spices into this kli rishon. Or, says the Gemara, Odilma aseit b'kai l'chumam, or maybe Rabbi Yehuda was coming on the second case of the Mishnah, which was dealing with the kli sheni, again, with the tamchoi, And the ka'ara, which was a kli sheni, to which Rabbi Yehuda was being machmir. He was saying that you're not even a kli sheni, you have to be machmir to assume that by vinegar and by the chometz and tzir, vinegar and fish brine, you have to be machmir. So says the Gemara, Tashma, we can bring a proof from the following brisa that says explicitly, Tadisanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, l'chol ilfis in unosin. Any frying pan you're allowed to add to it, l'chol akaderos roshlos unosin, and one may add spices to any boiling pot, chutz midavar sheyish b'chometz and tzir, except for something that has vinegar and fish brine. In this price, we see explicitly that Rabbi Yehuda is permitting even into a kli rishon that do not contain vinegar and fish brine. So he's coming lakula. Again, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass in only like the Tanakama. So that would not be logically different, but that's how we're clarifying Rabbi Yehuda's statement. So now the Gemara continues. Savar of Yosef, Lemer Melach, Harei Ketavar. Rabbi Yosef was, he thought that the halacha should be that salt is going to be similar to spices. That what? The kli rishon b'shala, that it can cook in a kli rishon, of a kli sheni lo bashla. However, it would not become cooked in a kli sheni. So again, it would come out, it'd be forbidden to add salt into a kli rishon, but you'd be allowed to add it to a kli sheni. The kli sheni lo, So the Gemara says, Amar le Abaye, so Abaye said to him, Taner Abchia, but the Brisa says the following, Melach ino ketavlin, salt is not so much to spices, the kli sheni nami bashla, for it could come, even in a kli sheni, it could come out, this, according to this Brisa, it's permitted to add salt even to a kli sheni, as long as it's hot enough that it's going to be yad, so let us go. So the Gemara says, Upligider of Nachman, that this statement from Rav Yosef and Abaye is arguing Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Tzricha milcha bishula kibisra de Torah. Salt needs cooking like meat of an ox. It needs to be cooked. The only way it's going to be cooked is if it's in a clear, it's a clear rishon that's mamish on the fire. Even a clear rishon that's off the fire would not be able to cook salt. So Rav Nachman is a big akula. So we have an extreme over here with regards to salt. So the Gemara says now another version, V'ikah de'amrei. There are those who say, Sefer Rav Yosef, Lememar Melech, Harei u'Ketavlin. Rav Yosef wanted to say that salt is similar to spices. The V'kli Rishon, Bashla, V'kli Sheni, Lo Bashla. and it could become cooked in a kli rishon, and it would not become cooked in a kli sheni. To which Amar Le Abaye said to him, Tani Rebchia, the Rebchia taught in the Braisa, it says the following, Melas eno ketavon, salt is not similar to spices, divi kli rishon nami lo bashla, it's not going to become cooked even in a kli rishon. And this followed in Rav that said, Tricha milcha ki bishula ki bishula, the Torah salt needs as much cooking as meat of an ox. Halacha lemaisa, just to point out, this is a big machlokas, even halacha lemaisa. Shulchan Aruch paskins that salt can only cook on an actual fire, like Rav Nachman and the Ikud Amrei in the name of Rav Chia. However, the Rama, he writes that it's a lechachila, someone should try to be preferable to be machmir in the shita of that it can cook even in a kli sheni. So according to that, one shouldn't even add salt even to a kli sheni. That's what comes out over here if it's boiling hot. So and just Agav has pointed out that this is salt that's only mined from the ground and it's uncooked, but salt produced by boiling seawater, that would be different because it's already considered ein bishal char bishal. So you have to see what type of salt you're using. But either way, this is what comes out. But and even with that salt, the Mishnah Berurah points out that one shouldn't add it to a kli that's on the fire or a kli rishon. Even from the salt that's cooked, that's what Mishnah Berurah points out. So it just comes out that the Ramah who's being machmir, the Taz points this out, that that the Ramah is accepting the first statement of the Gemara. That's at least lechachila. That's how the Taz points out. This sugi is extremely important. Lachal Maisa. Just now that we've discussed kli rishon and kli sheni, it's important to note that we're not sure what cooks in the kli sheni. The Gemara clearly said a few things are an exception. So we're machmir though. We assume that we don't know what could be cooked in a kli rishon or not, and therefore we assume that a person's not allowed to cook any liquid in a kli sheni as long as it's yatzah lettuce bow, because we don't know. So that would be, with the exception, Mishnah Berurah points us out, that the exception would be things that the Gemara says explicitly are okay. So meaning spices, we see explicitly this Gemara says over here, spices in a kli sheni you can cook in. We saw water in a kli sheni also is not an issue of cooking in. And oil, we saw that Gemara over before about oil, all of those are explicit in the Gemara, so those you could use kli sheni. However, everything else in a kli sheni, one is assumed is going to be machmer. That's the big shiloh, but the Gemara never discussed kli shlishi. If you put in kli shlishi, maybe it doesn't cook even kali abishal, maybe anything. That was the opinion of Rav Moshe. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein held. That's a big shiloh about tea. Because when you put, tea is considered kali abishal. So if you're going to put kli, so you take the tea, you pour it out of your hot water urn. So that already is going to make it a chumra, maybe the chazanish, but we're not going to have the chumra right now. That makes it already kli sheni. If you pour that into another kli, that made it a kli shlishi. So maybe a kli shlishi won't cook your tea. That's how Rav Moshe accepted that halacha. However, Shlomo Zalman and many other gedolim held that no, there is, if it's still boiling hot, it doesn't matter. Kli sheni just meant kli sheni and everything else that's considered to be boiling hot. So that would be a big shayla halacha lemaisa. A person has to ask his rav how he holds. A lot of people in America accepted the pesach of Moshe, but there are a lot of those who machmer. Shefter, I think Shlita is machmer. I think Rosh Soloveitchik was machmer, like Rosh Shlomo Zalman. But that is big machlokas in the postgame. So just to know that these sugyas are mamish very, very hamash halacha lemaisa. Okay, continuing on to the next mishnah. Says the next mishnah. In nosin kli tachas ner lekabel bus hashemen, so you can't put a kli, a vessel, under a lamp in order to catch the dripping oil. V'nasnu beod yom mutter, but if someone does it while it's daytime, it is going to be permitted. V'nosin memenda lefishenam menemulchan, it also can't benefit from the oil, so it's not something prepared. So before, there should have been this before we did the mishnah. Okay, but the mishnah, we should give a quick agama, because from now till the end of the parakimat is only going to be discussing the halachas of mukta. So when it comes to the halachas of muktzah, it's important to note that muktzah in general is a din derabanan. Muktzah is a din of derabanan, and literally it just means it's an iser derabanan to move it. The ikar iser is moving it or consuming something that's not ready is also part of the issue of muktzah. And muktzah is something that is generally something that wasn't a set aside for Shabbos. So that could be for many different reasons. There's many categories of muktzah, like muktzah machmas gufo, muktzah machmas iser, right? Because intrinsically asr mitzvahs gufo, let's say something like stones, sand, money, that's all muktzah zakufa. Muktzah as an itzer is generally used towards an itzer like a hammer, things like that. Those are all examples of things that are considered muktzah because they're not designated for uses that are permitted or uses at all that one would use them for on Shabbos. And again, and nolad, that's going to come up a little bit. Nolad's another example. Nolad's something, let's say, we're going to see like an egg out of an animal that wasn't there before. That's usher because it wasn't there before Shabbos. You never assumed that it was going to be ready for you to use on Shabbos. Those are all categories of muktzah, of things that are not set aside for Shabbos. So when it comes to our Mishnah is telling us that a person is not allowed to put a kli under the dripping oil in order to catch oil, because the dripping oil is considered mukta. And now you are going to be, as a shayla, exactly what issue of mukta is considered over here. There's many different understandings. Rashi says, I'll just give a few. Rashi says it's considered bitul kli mehechana. You're nullifying the use of the kli. The kli was considered ready to use for any purpose you wanted, and now you've made it mukta because you are now not able to move that kli anymore because it could receive the oil. The oil, we know, is mukta on Shabbos because it was used towards. There's also mukta maksas mitzvah if it was designated for the mitzvah of the oils and things like that. So you're now nullifying the kli, and therefore nullifying the kli is bitul kli mehechana. And a rabbi said that's going to be usher because it's similar to bone, because you're not allowed to remove it. You've made it stay in place, and therefore it's usher. That's what Rashi says for this as well. When it comes to the oil in the lamp, that's muksa. For others said different reasons, because maybe again, like we said, it's set aside for Shabbos lamps. Also, it's usher to remove oil because of kiboy, so it's a muksa matmas iser. So you're generally going to be doing an iser. And al basis l'davar usher, Rashi points this out also, that the oil is a base for the muksa, since the flame which a muksa rests. So therefore, the oil is going to be muksa. So all these reasons, you cannot put it there. But then the Mishnah said, "V'nasim b'od yom mutter," that if someone placed it there while it's still daytime, it's going to be mutter because I haven't ruined the kli on Shabbos. It's already there before Shabbos. There's a shaila whether this is mutter lechatchila. Tosfos assume it is lechatchila. Some disagree and say no. Only b'di'evad can you do that, even from erev Shabbos. Yeah, but better does not put it there at all. But Tosfos hold that you can even put it there lechatchila. And then someone's not allowed, the Mishnah ended off. They're not allowed to benefit from the oil because it's not considered something prepared for use on Shabbos. Okay, so again, these are part of the Isser of Mukta, so that's what we're going to say. So now the Gemara says, Amar of Chista, Afal Pisha Inosim Kli Tachas Hartarnagola. So Chista says, even though, Lekaba Beitzosa, even though they said someone can't place a Kli, a vessel, under the head in order to receive her egg, because why? Because you are ruining the Kli, and you're ruining the Kli. However, Val Kofelea Kli Shalot to Shavar. So you can nevertheless, you can turn over the Kli over the newly laid egg in order that the egg shouldn't break. So again, the egg that was laid is nolad. That's what we point out. This is a form of mukta because it wasn't ready before Shabbos. So when you put a kli under it, you're going to be ruining. That's like the case of the Mishnah, which is putting the kli under the lamp to catch the dripping oil. That which was usher. Chist is saying that even though it's forbidden to receive the egg in a kli, once the egg is permitted to cover it with this, it is permitted to cover it. Even though the egg is mukta, we're not going to say that it's usher. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rava, my time of Rav Chista. So why would Rav Chista allow this? So says the Gemara, Kasavar Tanagulas Asil Lahatil Beitzas Avashpa. He holds that the hen generally lays the egg in a trash can, right, or something like that. However, it is unlikely to lay it on an incline where it would roll off and break. And the rabbis allow you to take precautions that would prevent a common loss, even when doing so would involve moving a non-mukta item for the sake of the mukta item. That's the chiddush of Rav Chista over here. You're taking the kli, and now you're saving the mukta item, and v'hatzala she'ina mitzuya lo yitira. But they did not allow you to do this when it comes to things that are uncommon. When it comes to things that are uncommon, that you're not allowed to move the non-mukta item for the sake of the mukta item. That is the chiddush of Rabbah. So he's holding that the reason that our Mishnah said it's usher to place the kli under the lamp to catch the dripping oil is for the use of the item, because that itself is uncommon. That's what Rav Chista, that's how he comes out. So the Mishnah now says, so the Abaye has a kasha. Esve, Abaye has the kasha on this idea. The rabbis don't allow you even for a loss that's uncommon. V'atanya, the Braisa tells us, Nishbura lochavis shel tevel brosh kago mevi kli manech tevel. If a barrel of tevel broke, Tevel is mukta on Shabbos. Why? Because Tevel is a produce that Truma Maisos weren't taken off. So you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. So then it's mukta because you're not allowed, you don't designate it for use on Shabbos. You're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to touch those food. So maybe kli maneach tekla. You still, if the vessel breaks, you can place in it another vessel in order to save the contents of the tevel. And tevel's mukta, and this isn't common that a barrel should break, yet the rabbis allowed you to do it. So Rabbi would respond, the Braisa is dealing with the case of earthenware vessels, which frequently break, and therefore it is common, and therefore they allow you to replace it with something that's common. Yisrael Abaye has another challenge. You can place, the Mishnah says, you can place a kli, a vessel under the lamp to catch the falling sparks. Now, sparks aren't something that's generally around so much. They're not commonly produced by the lamp, so why would you allow you to do that? You're making it muktzah for something that's not common. So says Rabbah, certainly, nitzotos namishkichei, sparks too are considered common, and therefore, you don't have a raya against what I said. So, you know what? We'll stop there. The Gemara is going to produce a lot more challenges. So, Mitzvah Shem will pick up from here tomorrow. Okay, Shekhar, I'm confident.